Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Also, you can email me. I'm at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. And if you miss a show, you come in the middle, all the shows are archived. Check them out on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, Audible, and other places where you get your podcast. Just look up my name, maybe the guest, and voila, it should show up. If you have any problems or anything, again, you can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I want to thank everybody who has donated. You can donate via PayPal. It's Saturdays with Joy Keys on PayPal. But I want to thank the people who have donated to help the show running. This morning, well, this month, let me put it that way, is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. And I have two experts on this morning to discuss it. I'm not an expert. I mean, I know a little bit because, yes, I have done shows before, but I like to have the experts on so that, you know, nobody can be like, Joy, what are you talking about? But this morning, I have Regina Hartfield. She's the CEO and president of the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. Ms. Hartfield served on the association's board of directors for 3 years, including as chair of the fundraising committee. Previously, she managed federal, state, and commercial contracts for CVP, an information technology consulting firm in Virginia and Maryland. Good morning, Ms. Hartfield.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you so much for having us here today.
Thank you. Again, as I said earlier, I know it's Saturday. People like to sleep in, so I appreciate you taking the time to discuss this important illness. My other guest is Servio Astacio. Is that correct, Servio?
Yes, that's correct, Joy.
So he is dealing with sickle cell, and I don't want to go too much into his bio because I want him to talk about it during our interview, but I want to thank you as well, again, for coming on this morning and having to wake up. Where are you guys located in the country? Servio, where are you located?
Well, I just wanted to start off by saying thank you so much for having me, Joy. It is truly a pleasure to, you know, come on to your podcast and to be able to share my story and also spread awareness on, you know, sickle cell disease and sickle cell anemia. And I am currently living in Miami, Florida.
Oh, you're in a nice warm Miami. Woo! The beach, the
yes,
sun.
Yes.
And Regina,
yes, the wonderful weather.
The wonderful weather, right? Regina, where are you located?
And I'm located in Maryland, which is not as warm, but equally as lovely.
Yes, Maryland is very nice. I've been to Maryland, many parts, D.C., DMV area, as they call it, that
mm-hmm.
section. I'm
mm-hmm.
in Philadelphia. For those of you who don't
nice.
Know, I'm in Philadelphia. So this show, this is the beauty of this technology. We can talk and we in different locations. So let's start out. I'm going to start with you, Regina. What are some of the symptoms of sickle cell? How would somebody even know that they had sickle cell anemia?
Well, sickle cell disease is an inherited condition, and it comes from parents in much the same way as your blood type or hair color or eye color and other physical traits. There are types of hemoglobin that a person makes in the red blood cells, and it depends upon which hemoglobin genes the person inherits from his or her parents. So when a child is born with sickle cell disease, usually the first, they are tested, and they will have symptoms of incredible pain. And these are called pain crises, and this occurs when the shape of their red blood cells sickle and form a crescent shape, and they can block small blood vessels, and less blood will reach the areas that where these sickled blood cells coagulate, and so parts of the body that normally reach a very healthy blood flow. Once it gets clogged with these sickle cells, these organs and those parts of the body can become damaged. And there's incredible pain for them.
Now, I believe they didn't always test Servio. Do you know that, did they not always test for sickle cell in the past? And that was something that was that got changed, like a law got changed to make people get tested as babies. Is that correct?
So I was born in the Dominican Republic, so I can't really speak about as far as, you know, legislation and developments for early screening and early testing. And also, I think here in the United States, that was developed after, you know, I was born. So my parents, no, they never did any tests. I'm not even sure if they knew what sickle cell was. And that's normally the case of many parents that have children, and their children either have the traits or have the disease. They don't know that they have the sickle cell. Number one, did not know that they had the sickle cell trait. And number two, they didn't even know what sickle cell was.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You just mentioned, Regina, you talked about this trait. Now, people, I understand, can have a trait but not have sickle cell. But when the two parents come together and they both have the trait, that's when it's most likely that, like, I think it's one in two children will get sickle cell. Is that correct, Regina?
That is correct. I also just wanted to kind of go back for a second. The newborns have been tested in the United States since 1975. There was the first state that implemented that, and then subsequently several states started also enacting that and testing for newborns. But yes, you can have parents. Interestingly, I just met my third set of twins with one has sickle cell disease and the other has the trait, and they're twins. Yes, so it's very – and then I met another set of twins where one does not have sickle cell disease and one has the disease. So you're absolutely right. It really will depend on whether or not both parents have the trait, one or both parents have the actual disease. That will affect the outcomes of what their children are born with, too.
Now, according to your statistics on your website, 1 in 12 African-American children will have the sickle cell trait. Now, Servio, you said you were born in the Dominican Republic. How did you find out that you had sickle cell?
I found out because of the screening that Regina mentioned. I was born in the Dominican Republic, and I was also diagnosed in the DR. It was actually my parents that they figured out because I was having I was very yellowish, and I had episodes of, you know, rigidness, and I would put my arms up and fevers and things like that. So they decided to take me to the doctor, and that's when I was diagnosed with sickle cell anemia.
Now, when you started growing up, do you remember what did they do to help you to deal with the symptoms, and what other symptoms did you develop as you grew?
My dad was very good at keeping me up to date and finding the best doctors for me. So that's something that I always had, and I'm, you know, grateful for. And he always made sure that all of my vaccines were updated, especially the pneumococcal or the pneumovax vaccine and all the other vaccines that I needed. So that's how my symptoms were very managed. And I had very little sickle cell crisis when I was, you know, growing up. Now, you know, during the process of, you know, teenage years where it's not much of your parents holding your hand. It's more like, you know, they start letting go and you start having more fun with friends and things like that, and you become more independent, then, you know, unfortunately their care for you starts to diminish, and then you start experiencing more symptoms, like, for instance, fatigue, start getting headaches. You start getting what I did notice was more sickle cell crises and more frequent. That was something that I did notice.
Regina, is that something you hear a lot when people become teenagers, Does that have to do with the hormones that are going through our bodies at that time that people develop more symptoms?
Yes, exactly. We know that once someone with sickle cell disease as a child, it leaves the pediatric healthcare system. During that transition, it's a very difficult time for all kinds of reasons, including those that you mentioned. But one of the main problems is that during that transition time, just as Servio said, you know, they are expected as they're getting older to take over the care, their own care, because they're moving to adult health care and into the adult health care system, which is more independent. And so what Servio mentioned is the experience that we've heard from so many. Their parents are not as involved, not because they don't want to be, but because it is time to turn over that care. And in the adult health care system, there are not necessarily enough health care providers who are well-versed in sickle cell disease, much less sickle cell disease in adolescents. The locations where the treatment areas that they have, if they even have a sickle cell disease treatment area, really is not fully equipped to handle that. So we have people who are coming, we call them warriors, the warriors who come to the emergency rooms and are treated with in a manner that is just unacceptable. People don't believe that they're in the pain that they're in. They have to prove, almost prove, that they have sickle cell disease. And very often, because of the pain that they're in and the fact that they require some very serious medications, they're seen as drug seekers and are not given the medication and the quality of care that they demand and that they deserve.
Now, I said earlier 1 in 12 African Americans or people of color, Mediterranean regions, have sickle cell in America. Now, the trait. Now, Regina, can white people have sickle cell disease?
Absolutely.
Can Asian people? Okay, go ahead.
This is a sickle cell disease is a global issue. The number we have and that we quote is 1 in 13 African Americans carry the sickle cell trait and may not know. 2,000 babies are born with sickle cell disease annually in the United States. Latinos have the second most common incidence in the U.S. with 1 out of every 16,300 Hispanic Americans born with sickle cell disease, but that's in the United States. Sickle cell disease is prevalent in many countries in Africa, India, throughout the Mediterranean, in Israel, Italy, all across the globe. And what we are finding is that all across the globe. And what we are finding is that there are inconsistencies in the treatments that are available, in the stigma. Well, the stigma is consistent across the board. A lot of people try not to talk about it. A lot of people, could be family members, caregivers, individuals. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you can be Caucasian and have sickle cell disease. Absolutely.
Now, Servio, now that you are older, you know you have sickle cell. Has anyone else in your family been tested for the trait? Have you found out that anyone else in your family had it?
No, I have not found out anybody in my family has had it. I just know that my dad had it. My dad has it, I'm sorry, and my mom had it, the trait. And her it is broken down by percentages. So her percentage was higher than my dad's. That's the only relatives that I am aware of that had sickle cell traits.
Now, this might be personal, but say you wanted to have a child. Because you have sickle cell, you would have to find somebody who didn't have the trait. Is that how I'm understanding it? If you wanted to have a child, maybe with a higher chance of not having it?
I would say that that's an acceptable moral judgment to make, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, or there's also adoption. People adopt children, all kinds of ways of having children. But yes, that's a very traditional way of saying trying to have a child. But now that you're older, how did you get connected with the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America?
I got connected because it started in 2019 where I was invited to go to Washington, D.C. to speak for sickle cell advocacy, and that was actually in April of 2019. I took a road trip because I couldn't take a plane, and I ended up going, and, you know, from then on, I just got in contact with some people, and one thing led to another, and I went ahead and I participated in a roundtable with Secretary Becerra, and that's where I met Regina.
Wow, that is like an amazing story. From Miami all the way up the East Coast, and then you're speaking with a national organization. Were you nervous when you got there?
Well, it was actually virtually, so that helped. And but you know, the way that I think about it is that you're always going to be nervous, but you just have to stay focused, and you have to keep your eye on the objective. And I'm very driven to speak about sickle cell advocacy, to inspire treatment, to inspire development and research. So, you know, everything else is just second to me, you know, as far as like nervousness and anxiousness, that's all in last place.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm hoping you're not too nervous this morning.
No, not at all.
No, good, good. Regina, I've been reading that, you know, the spleen has a special space with sickle cell. Why is the spleen important in relation to sickle cell?
So I will defer to the medical community and our sickle cell disease medical experts on that. But I can say that there is the potential for incredible organ damage because of sickle cell disease. And so there is kidney disease. It affects the spleen most definitely. It can affect vision, delayed growth, and as Servio mentioned, infections and fatigue. So, yes, it can really do quite a number on the organs within the body. And people also are not aware that even if you don't have sickle cell disease, but you carry the trait under certain circumstances can also cause complications. And that is usually when someone is training very hard at doing it, you know, strenuous exercising, you're at different altitudes, things like that. And it will affect them very often. And so a lot of times people with trait don't even realize they have it. They are feeling generally healthy and they don't know. And then to also piggyback on what Servio said earlier, if one parent has sickle cell anemia and the other is normal, all of the children will have sickle cell trait. So that's something to keep in mind.
Keep in mind. Now, Servio, I was reading in your bio that you weren't able to go into the military, but you have been able to work. Can you talk about that experience of working and having sickle cell, and how someone who has sickle cell, if they're out there, what are some things they can do to kind of balance or, you know, try to get a balance and keep their exacerbations down while they're working?
Well, like you mentioned, yes, the thing about the military, I couldn't go because of the sickle cell anemia, and my grandfathers, they were both in the military. And so I was very inspired to do that. And eventually, because I couldn't go, I decided to pursue a career in business. And the way that I was able to manage that career and sort of find a balance was, you know, working hours and things like that, and making sure to take your required breaks, and making sure, of course, that you're staying hydrated, and also learn to distinguish between, you know, anxiety, because anxiety can be very deterring to your physical health. I've had situations when I've had anxiety, I start having some sort of physical pain. that was completely unrelated to my health. And, you know, to be able to try to keep those nerves and to keep that stress and to keep that anxiety down, that way your physical health feels, you know, optimal. That's actually something that I would say, that would be a piece of advice that I would say to keep that balance.
Now, do you have to go, are you on a special diet? Are there certain exercises that you do that help more than others?
Well, what I do is that I don't have a diet. I eat anything, but I do make sure to to eat. You
I'm
know,
sorry.
What else
you
supposed
eat
to
anything?
Eat.
Okay, that wasn't the answer I was expecting.
But I do make sure that I do my morning walks and my afternoon walks, and walking does help you physically and mentally, because you know exercise it can create endurance and it can give you clarity of mind.
Now, Regina, the organization, I noticed that they have a lot of great links on there, and one of them is clinical trials. What are some medicines that people, are you aware of the medicines that people have to take, and is there a cure on the horizon?
Well, this is just an incredible landscape for sickle cell disease right now, and we do believe that there is a cure, a universal cure, or there are going to be therapies that are going to greatly improve the quality of life for those living with sickle cell disease. So I always say to people, I believe we are right there. But the treatments that and medications that people take can be hydroxyurea, glutamine. I always say this wrong, voxelotor and crizalizumab, but those can also help reduce the severity of sickle cell disease. It's also important to have screening for early detection of the trait and of the disease. I don't think a lot of people realize that you can be an adult and have sickle cell disease and not know it, until you are diagnosed with it in an older age, as an adult or an older teenager. So not everyone is aware of it when they are born. Either they lose the information, or if they're not born in this country and it's not required, they don't ever have it, similar to what Servio was saying. Right now, transplants. I'm sorry. I was just going to say in terms
say
of
I
the cure.
I was born before 75, so I may or may not have been tested myself for sickle cell.
Yeah, you probably
I probably wasn't. But go ahead. You were going to continue. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of a cure, right now the only option is a bone marrow transplant, which is also known as a stem cell transplant. And in some cases, it has cured sickle cell disease. But not everyone can qualify for that, and they're not all eligible for that. So, and there are some associated risks. So that's why we don't look at it as a universal cure. But on our website, we have a clinical trial binder, and people can go to www.sicklecelldisease.org and search for our clinical trials finder. Actually, the button is right there. And one of the other things that we offer is a mobile app for the clinical trial finder on your phone. So, and we find this to be incredibly important, because making a decision to participate in a clinical trial is a very personal and a very important decision. And I'm sure Servio can attest to this, that when you're making these kind of decisions, you talk to the people who have supported you and who are important in this kind of a decision-making process. You're not always in front of your computer when you have it. But I tell you, we're always carrying our phones. And so you can download the app. It's free. It takes a couple of seconds. Just make a password and you're in. And all of the information is right there. You can share it with your family and have these meaningful, important discussions together about pursuing participation in a clinical trial. And the other thing is...
I want to mention your phone number.
Phone number, sure. 410-528-1555. And unfortunately, our offices are still closed because of COVID, but we do try to check our voicemail as much as possible. If anything they can email us at info@sicklecelldisease.org, and we will respond.
Servio, have you been involved in any clinical trials? Or if not, do you know anybody who has, and what was their experience?
I have not known anybody, and I myself have not partaken in any clinical trials. The only thing that I've done, which is not really a clinical trial, is taking hydroxyurea. I was prescribed that November last year, and I've been taking it, and I can say that I've had very good improvement in my health. I have not been hospitalized because of a crisis, or I haven't had a blood transfusion since I started taking the hydroxyurea.
Now, how has COVID affected you and maybe others with sickle cell? Can you talk about the impact of COVID, Servio?
Yes, I did actually get COVID, and I did get one of the weaker strains. But the first day I wasn't feeling, I knew something was wrong. But the second day I felt very disoriented. I felt like I couldn't walk in place. I felt very dizzy, and I felt like I had a fever. No, well, I did actually have a fever, 102, and I had to go to the hospital.
Mm.
Thankfully, because I went to the hospital, I was able to be one of the individuals that qualified for the prescription medication that, you know, you have to take over a period of 6 days or so to get rid of COVID. And, you know, I was healthy. But I think COVID has been affecting everybody in a very negative way. But people with sickle cell anemia, especially because we're more prone and more vulnerable to infection, and also, to fevers and other things that can come with it, like pneumonia.
Now, do you suggest that people get the vaccines, Servio? What has your doctor or what doctors have talked to you about that? Is that's important?
Yes, I do actually recommend for people to get the vaccine. And you know, for just as an added layer of protection, sort of an added layer of security. And my doctor has also recommended for me to get my vaccine.
Well, I want to let people know that I'm not a doctor, Servio's not a doctor, and as Regina said, she's not a doctor. So I want to encourage you to talk to your own, you know, primary care physicians or other doctors that you're dealing with to get specific healthcare information for yourself. I don't want you to go around saying Joy said I should do this and then something wrong, you know, something, you know, wrong happens. But most of the information that I try to give out is very truthful and on point. If you can verify it, go to the CDC or the NIH or whatever and verify any of these things that we've been talking about this morning. They're all true. This is not a fake information situation. But again, still talk to your individual primary care physician about what your health plan should be. Regina, can you mention your phone number again and your email again for the organization?
Sure. Our email is www.sicklecelldisease.org. Our phone number is 410-528-1555. I want to also comment on what you just said. You're 100% right. People should, especially those living with sickle cell disease, should reach out to their caregivers and their healthcare providers, rather, because sickle cell is very individualized. And so one person's condition and the complications from it is not the same as the other person's. One of the things I also wanted to mention about the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America is that we are composed of 53 community-based organizations and it spans 29 states. So most likely your listeners live in a state that has a Sickle Cell Disease Association of America chapter. The chapters collectively serve over 500,000 children and adults living with sickle cell disease. They are on the ground. They work with individuals and caregivers and healthcare providers every day, all day. and support families.
You have a map.
With all
you
kinds
guys have
of information. We have a map. Yes.
That
yes.
People can just
it's
click
on our
their
website.
State.
You just,
yep.
Mm-hmm. You can click on it where, for example, Servio is in Florida. We have many chapters, but we go out as far as California, Michigan, Chicago. We are every Atlanta, North and South Carolina, New York, where
Oregon,
we are
Nevada.
All over Oregon. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
All over.
Exactly.
I just want to mention that, you know, there are caregivers that are helping people deal with this illness. What are some suggestions? And this will be my last question, Servio. What would you tell people, caregivers, what are some tips you can give them and to be sensitive and more, I guess, empathetic to someone who's dealing with sickle cell?
Some of the advice that I would give them is, number one, to make sure that they stay hydrated, because hydration is one of the greater causes for sickle cell triggers. And I would actually heavily emphasize on hydration. And also, as far as, you know, like, understanding, you know, people with sickle cell anemia, they go through the same pain repeatedly many times over, you know, the same. It could be weekly, it could be monthly. And to have an understanding of the medical condition, because something that you don't understand, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to say, oh wow, you know, this again. But if you actually have an understanding and you're knowledgeable about the condition, you know that episodes can be sporadic, episodes can be repetitive, episodes can be persistent. And that way, with that type of understanding, with that knowledge, as they say, knowledge is power, you can give better treatment and you can understand the other person, because everybody is different. How sickle cell affects you or affects me or affects the next person, it could be three different scenarios, but it can have one common denominator. That's sickle cell anemia.
Mm, exactly.
Well, I want to thank you guys both for coming on this morning, Regina Hart, Servio Sacio. I really appreciate you taking the time to share this information. It's so important this month is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. But any month or any day, there are people dealing with sickle cell. So I don't want people to be, oh, this is the only month we should be concerned about sickle cell disease. We should be concerned about it 365 days of the year, because 365 days of the year, there are people who are suffering from it. And as the statistics stated, Regina mentioned earlier, 1 in 13 people, African-Americans and people of color in America, are dealing with this. So if you look to your left and your right and you're on the bus, there might be somebody there who's dealing with sickle cell disease. Just think about that. You're on the bus, look to your left, look to your right, you're on the train, you're in a car on the highway. 1 in 12 people are dealing with this illness. So it's really important to maybe volunteer if you have the time. I'm sure that this organization would appreciate volunteers across the country. Servio, thank you for being an advocate, even though, you know, you're dealing with your own pain at times, but you are still being a warrior, as Regina said. That's really great, really great.
Enjoy.
Thank you so much,
Brian. Education. Awareness building is so important, and we hope that people will come to our website to find out what's all the going on throughout the United States for Sickle Cell Awareness Month and beyond, and join us for our national convention, which is October 11th through 15th. It's virtual, and you can register if you just go to our website again, www.sicklecelldisease.org. You can register and come join us. But more importantly, as you said, every day, sickle cell disease is with us every single day. And there's a lot of information on our website that can support caregivers as well as those living with sickle cell disease. Thank you so much for having me here today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Servio. You wanted to say something? We got cut off a little bit there.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to thank you also. Thank you. Thank you, Joy, for having us here and for giving us, you know, your platform so we can share and educate everybody else and raise awareness on sickle cell anemia. And thank you, Regina, for also inviting me to join you and for also working with me in this process. It was a pleasure meeting you both. and it was a pleasure being here in your podcast.
Well, now, Servia, you can go eat whatever you want now. You can go eat some pancakes. I don't know what the specialty is down there in Miami, but you can go do that or go back to sleep. And Regina, you can also go and have some brunch or something somewhere.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you today, Joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. I will talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is, again, Sickle Cell Awareness Month. I just got off the phone with Regina Hartsfield. She's the president and CEO of the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America, and also advocate Servio Astacio. He is living with sickle cell disease, and he shared his story. So if you missed that information, no worries. This is going to be archived about 15 minutes from now or so. You'll be able to listen to this on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Audible, various places where you get your podcasts. You can also check me out on Twitter, at Joy Keys, also on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. I might be doing a giveaway this weekend, so you want to keep your eyes open for that. And usually I make people email me the answer. The first person who emails the answer is the winner. So keep an eye out on the social media. Follow so you can possibly be a winner. Thank you guys again for supporting the show. Check out PayPal. You can donate there. That's Saturdays with Joy Keys at PayPal. And thank you for the people who have already donated. And thank you guys for all your support. Have a wonderful weekend.